And for making it like you. Now we're riding a rainbow to Clydesville.
A beautiful day without a cloud.
The 27th Annual Vancouver International Film Festival will be held September 25th to October 10th, 2008. VIFF is among the largest film festivals in North America and is one of the largest cultural events in Canada. The broad spectrum of fiction and non-fiction films from around the world is divided into the following sections. The Ark, Elements and Animals. Dragons and Tigers, The Cinemas of East Asia. Non-fiction features. Canadian Images, Cinema of Our Time, and Spotlights on France.
Films are screened on the following 10 screens. Empire Granville 7 Cinemas, Van City Theatre at the Vancouver International Film Centre, Pacific Cinematheque, Ridge Theatre. To purchase tickets, visit the Vancouver International Film Festival Centre on Seymour. For information, check out www.viff.org or call 604-683-FILM. That's 604-683-3456.
Yes, it comes in a downward direction. It disintegrates, dissolves, melts.
Meet the Filmmakers, 29th of September to the 10th of October, 2008. In its 14th year at the Vancouver International Film Festival, Meet the Filmmakers is about the realization of ideas and the revelation of presence. These informal and insightful panel discussions with filmmakers attending the festival provide a rare opportunity for the festival audience to engage in meaningful dialogue with the creative visionaries of modern cinema. Salons are free. Just bring your love of film and prepare to be inspired.
In conjunction with the Vancouver International Film Festival, Meet the Filmmakers is made possible by the collective efforts of Cineworks Independent Filmmakers Society, Documentaries Organization of Canada BC Chapter, Praxis Center for Screenwriters, and all of our fabulous volunteers. Detailed information about the salons can be found at www.cineworks.ca.
Juicebox is a sexuality education show geared to adult audiences. Listener discretion is advised. You've dropped into Juicebox Radio, where sexuality educators quench your search for responsible, progressive sexuality over your lifespan.
Thank you. you've landed. Oh, yeah, right there, right there, right in the juice box. You've landed in Juice Box Radio 101.9 FM on CITR. And you've got your special host, Julia Saunders, the sexy, sexy, sexy Miss Saunders.
And your fabulous example there of opening the show was none other than Caroline McGillivray.
As I'm sitting in the squeaky chair. So yes. If I start to bounce up and down, you'll hear it loud and clear. Mm. So welcome to the box, everyone who's joining us. I guess you must have missed us. And you didn't get to hear us last week.
Been a couple of weeks, that's for sure.
Been a few weeks. But we've got lots to say and lots for you to hear. And I'm
sure
you're
talking all about showing your stuff tonight. So it's an exhibitionistic kind of show.
Which is very
hot. We need the video cam for.
We definitely need to do
that. We should have launched our video cam show with exhibitionism, I think. Because what is exhibitionism? Well, we're going to get into that.
Well, I think we can get into a lot of that. But if you do want to call and tell us your tales, and you can give us a call at 604-822-2487. That's 604-UBC-CITR. And on that note, you were just asking Ms. Julia, as you sit there and just gently caress your breasts, you're sitting there telling me all about exhibition.
Yes, well,
being an exhibitionist.
I could flash them because the classic definition of exhibitionism is also known as flashing. Now, a lot of people do like to do that, I think. And I mean, what is exhibitionism? Well, you know, is it flashing your genitals? Is it flashing your boobs, your buttocks? Is it strutting down the beach like with your little bikini on? And, is it heading? I mean, what's going on at Wreck Beach there, right? Wreck Beach is like nudist beach. Is that exhibitionism? Why do people do that,
And because it feels good. It feels natural. It feels really hot.
Get some air on the genitals.
Air them out.
Get the barking brown spider to get aired out. It very rarely sees the light.
The barking brown spider. I think you've traumatized me and will make me never want to have sex ever again. A spider?
Not anal sex, anyway.
A spider.
The little legs,
a spider. Please, Julia.
Spiders have that little middle body part and the little leggy bits.
Okay,
yeah.
You're starting to seriously
anuses
traumatize
remind
me.
Of that.
I thought it was more, somebody described it as a rosebud, actually.
Okay, maybe that's better for some people.
I kind of like
it. Sounds like it's maybe that's an anus with some hemorrhoids, the rosebud. But anyway.
It just may not smell like that, but if you're an exhibitionist, you can send us some pictures.
The stinking rose. Okay, isn't that garlic? I don't know.
Yes,
this is
a
not a cooking show.
That.
It's not a cooking show.
But
right.
I personally always thought it was a little bit about the whole Lady Godiva syndrome, and I don't really think of it as the chocolate. I'm thinking more like, did you ever come to my Halloween party where I dressed up, where I got that unitard and I sliced up one of my cat's toys to make a big bush of pubic hair, and I had that.
I was not present for that, unfortunately.
All right.
I missed that.
I painted little red nipples on and went around. I tried to go as Lady Godiva,
but
I couldn't find a wig with hair long enough to do it. My hair's long enough now, but back then I didn't have hair long enough, so I ended up going as Eve instead. So I had a snake around my neck and went around offering people apples.
Very nice.
And it was really interesting because all my male friends, after looking, going, hey, that's hot. They were really cool about it for about 2 minutes. After that, it was all my female friends who couldn't stop staring, and they kept saying to me, I'm sorry, Kara, I can't stop staring at your breasts. You've got really nice breasts, even if they're like painted on with fake nipples and stuff like that. They look really hot. And so in my own strange way, that's what I think of as Lady Godiva syndrome.
Well, it is.
Even though I'm not going to go riding around bucking a horse.
It is Lady Godiva syndrome in that, for women anyway, I think the example there is that she, took a lot of strength for her to sit up on this horse and show off her naked body, wanting to make a statement about being able to do that.
And that freedom?
Freedom and expression. So, I think it's, we're going to talk about this, but what the difference between what the motivations are behind men's behavior and women's behavior is often different when it comes to exhibitionism. So we'll be breaking that down. But, the classic definition of it is also apodysphilia because, of course, in this, it's got to do with this psychological need and this pattern of behavior that involves exposing parts of the body to another person with a tendency towards being kind of extravagant about it, or at least partially sexually inspired behavior. And it's this psychological need that to do this, to sort of attract the attention of another in this open display of bare private parts, you know, exact parts of the human body that would otherwise be left covered under clothing in nearly all cultural circumstances. So
would you consider
private
that?
Parts, whatever that is, showing those private parts that would be considered in a culture to be something private.
So if we were living way back in the day, back in the Victorian era, for example, if I raised my skirt ever so slightly and showed you my ankle?
Exactly.
I'd be an exhibitionist?
That would be exhibitionistic behavior.
Or if we were living under the rule of the Taliban and I lifted up my, what's it called, the burqa?
Taliban?
Taliban?
Taliban.
Taliban sounds sexier. Yes, whatever.
Yes,
not
your
that
burqa.
It's very,
even if you flashed your nose or your chin.
Actually, that's true.
It would be a problem. Yeah, so that's kind of, but it's this extravagance, right? So again, we'll talk about the difference between men and women. Some men, they do it kind of shock value. Women do it like more sensuous kind of behavior, but we'll talk about that later.
Yeah.
Now, the philia, I want to get back to that. So paraphilias, they're sexual, you know, according to the definition, mm-hmm. issues that go against the variance of sexual behavior. So the things that go against the norm or against what's accepted in common society or whatever. So it's interesting because this philia thing, and we've done shows all about the different kinds of philias and
unusual.
It's an unfortunate description of a variant sexual expression. Now, mm-hmm. variant isn't a very nice word either, but just a variety, a difference between what's considered normal or vanilla.
I like vanilla, and vanilla is actually an aphrodisiac, you know.
I have a feeling that we didn't have any vanilla in those ice creams that we had before we came in.
Yes, my big...
It was all sugar, more sugar.
For those of you guys who are listening, we went and exhibited ourselves at the gym. We worked and purged and worked and then gorged and feasted.
On big, huge, phallic-sized ice creams, which actually these people came in to the place where we were getting the ice cream and laughed at the size of the humongous, like the size of a bigger than a child's arm, you know, covered in chocolate. It looked very phallic, and it was very, very sexual.
I managed to swallow the whole thing, too.
You did, and the exhibitionism there. I mean, what's that about, right? Like, the classic definition is about a body part, but I think when we display our sexual behaviors, it's like, or like our teasingness, or, you know, again, like I'm thinking, well, what's going on at the beach? You know, what's going on at the gym tonight? You know, mm-hmm. the people strutting around and everyone kind of looking at each other, not, you know, totally checking each other out, people showing skin. Some people just go and work out and get sweaty and red and they don't care what they look like. But there's a lot of people who are kind of posing. I mean, what is that about? That's kind of exposing skin and body parts and flexing and for what? For sexual arousal, for that psychological need that you might have to show your stuff, you know?
And feel good about yourself and attract the opposite sex. Because after all, what are we put on this planet for? To procreate,
well, exactly.
And attract.
I mean, one of the things I...
And have a good time doing it.
Yes. Well, one of the reasons I wanted to do the show on exhibitionism tonight was because of my own personal life, which I decided to do some nude modeling last night.
How was that? You were telling me a bit about that.
Well, it was always a fantasy of mine to be a nude model. Now, I think it was an exhibitionistic fantasy where I thought, well, you know, it'd be kind of sensual. I see these nude models sometimes. I've been to some things where I've seen a nude model, and I always think, wow, they look so sexy, so sensuous. Like, how what a turn-on to sit there and be stared at and like somebody drawing every minute detail of your body and how sensuous, right? And so I kind of thought, well, that would be kind of a fun thing for me to do. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna do it, and I had this opportunity to do it. And
how did it flare? How did it work in terms of reality versus the fantasy?
It was so clinical. It was a very
really?
Clinical experience.
Was it hard work?
It was very hard work. It was all business, and I actually made myself nauseous working so hard because it was just such an effort. And in every posture you're holding, my muscles are all very sore today. And
of course, the fact that you sat in the splits for 5 minutes during one of those, I'm sure, had nothing to do with that, right, Jules?
Well, you know, I was giving them an anatomy lesson. I figured how many models would actually show their genitals, because I think exhibitionism in the exhibitionistic person in me is like, well, you know, nobody gets to look at a vulva very often, you know, unless it's a sexual context, you know, where you get the sex ed, which is very rare.
But you know, each
so I figured I'm flashing my bits and these people can draw them if they like, or they can just, you know, gloss over that part and just do the rest of my body. And surprisingly, lots of people were getting into drawing the genitals, which I thought was kind of cool. Because, I mean, I've done some nude model where I've painted men, or drawn men, and they've got their ball sacks hanging down from the back, you know, and you're trying to get the rocks and the sock kind of look of the, how do you draw these ball sacks hanging backwards, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. It's just not a very common sight. And so that's one of the reasons why I thought, oh, exhibitionistic tendencies that we all kind of probably have in some small way or another, because we know what's sexy. Mm-hmm. We know what's a sensual act. So, you know, whether you're in the Middle East showing your chin or your neck, you know, from the end of the burqa, or whether you're, you know, in the...
Showing your ankles back in the Victorian era.
It's like we know what we're doing to be provocative, right? And whether that provocation is for sexual tendency or for shock value, you know, it's still a provocation. It's still a sensual or provocative act, whether it's sexual-based or shock value-based. But anyway, giving away some of what we're going to be talking about.
That's all right. I don't think it's a bad thing.
I thought this was really interesting. We got a lot of stuff tonight from Wikipedia. I like to go on Wikipedia first because I think... I mean, I usually add to the research there. Every time I read something, I'll correct. They must love me because I'm constantly correcting their sexual stuff. But I do find that it is, in overall, I mean, with the amount of information you get off the net, overall, I find Wikipedia to be fairly accurate. And it's a good little encyclopedia. So I do take a lot of their stuff off of them. And they talked about some researchers that have claimed that telephone scatologia. I can't even say that word, scatologia.
I don't even know what that is.
Is a variant of exhibitionism. Well, it's basically when you call someone and start breathing heavy.
It's like Prince's song, Let's Go Crazy, where it's like Top picked up the phone and was all I heard.
Yeah, exactly. There you go. Maybe you can play that for us in the break. Anyway,
I think I may have to.
So this is a variant of exhibitionism. Now, I think, again, it's about the provocation of what you're doing. Like, and it's and the other thing about exhibitionism in the classical definition is that it's unprovoked. It's the other person doesn't want necessarily or has not asked for you to do these things. You know, they're sort of just innocently wandering about their life, and then they get flashed, or they get mooned, or they get a tit bared to them. Not
like
that many.
John Waters in like the movie Hairspray, where he actually like where it's like, there's the flasher that lives next door, and he goes and flashes all the women, and they scream like that. Okay.
Have you ever had a flashing situation happen?
Yes, actually, when I was at the public library when I was about 15 years old.
Whoa. And I did too. I have to type up mine.
Well,
it reminded me. I just came into my memory. I'm like, whoa, when I was 12. Anyway, go ahead.
And there was this guy who was kind of ugly. He was probably about 40, which seemed really old back then. And he's like, come here. And he actually had his cock out, and it was erect. I hadn't really seen anything like that before, because as you know, I was a late bloomer. I didn't lose my virginity until I was 18. And, yeah, it was quite interesting, actually, where he's like, come here, and he wanted me to come over. And I was absolutely terrified, so I sat there for a very long time where he was, like, peeking at me through between a bookshelf. This was back when where HMV is now on Robson Street, where the old public library used to be there. And there's part of me that actually got turned on by it, which really upset me because, I mean, I was a 15-year-old kid, and I was so naive back then. So,
yeah, it reminds me. I mean, this is you know, again, a classical definition of exhibitionism where, you know, that's a deviant behavior where it's not necessarily healthy because it's, you know, I mean, it's the thing that the classical definition of exhibitionism is really about doing something that's unwarranted, unwanted, and flashing your genitals or your breasts or your buttocks or whatever to people that aren't expecting it or haven't asked for it. So it tends to be this indecent exposure aspect, right? So just like as an example of that, that would be what I would consider to be flashing.
You mentioned you were flashed too, Julia, at the age of 12.
Well, maybe even more than flashing. I think that you underwent something to do with what's called martamachilia, which is a paraphilia involving sexual attraction to having others watch the execute. Well, that's the execution of a sexual act, but exposing the bare genitals for varied reasons, mostly to please the exhibitionist person, lifting up a skirt, which probably is quite popular in Scotland, and that's called anasirma.
Anasirma.
So that's what happened to you in the library, I think, was this anasirma. And what happened to me and my friend, we got hitchhiking back in the day. I used to hitchhike around Vancouver all the time, and it was perfectly safe kind of activity, except for one day, we get in this van and or this front of a truck, and really stupid, my girlfriend and I think I was probably 13, and or maybe 14, and she was 13.
And what happened?
And he, like, pulled his shorts off to the side and, like, let his cock and balls just hang out of his shorts.
Oh,
and so he kept pulling his shorts over and over, kind of slowly, discreetly.
Mm-hmm.
But pretty soon, it's like his whole cock and balls was sticking on outside of his shorts, and he was totally showing us.
So what did you do?
So I just, like, I just pinched my friend, and I was, like, trying to pretend we didn't notice. And I was like, this is good right here. Thanks very much. You can let us out here. Please stop. And I was just, like, stopped. And I, like, basically opened the door across from her and shoved her out because I was right beside the cock. Anyway, I'll never forget that moment. I was so scared, and it was really, really nasty.
That doesn't sound like it's a sexy thing at all.
It wasn't sexy, but at the same time, I still remember it very clearly, and there's not to say that some fantasies haven't arisen from that kind of activity, right? I mean, we've talked about fantasies on shows before mm-hmm. where, you know, often our fantasies are some kind of example or have stemmed from, like you said, from this library experience where something happened to you, and even though you maybe didn't ask for it or want it or were very scared at the time, fantasies can then grow from that, where when you were in more of a position of power and you can open up to what had happened in a sexual sense, you can recreate the story with your own narrative and
make it a safe place to revisit.
Exactly.
Okay, that makes perfect sense then. So that's where all the schoolgirl fantasies come from. Is that
sure,
what you're saying?
All kinds of them. Yes, right. Yeah, so...
So there's flashing, of course.
Yes. I think it's mostly the flashing is like, you know, the lifting of the body quickly. Like, it's a quick thing, right? It's in the covering it back up. And mooning is this display of the bare buttocks. These are examples of classic exhibitionism.
Where it looks like it's an accident. For example, that Cindy Crawford ad back in Vogue where she's like raising her arm to talk to the waiter and her breast just happens to pop out of her dress.
Well, that's a flash.
Okay.
But I think... You know, the mooning is the buttocks, but that's why it's called the moon, right? The moon is the white fleshy things, but obviously mooning is created by white people, I suppose, because they're the ones with the white buttocks that look like the moon. So, but, you know, it's interesting, again, the male-female differences between this activity is that women, it's generally for women, it's a sexual exhibitionistic context.
Exhibitionistic context.
And men, it's usually for shock value. I mean, obviously women do it for shock value too, but men rarely do this mooning thing because of sexuality. They're doing it because they're trying to shock people.
So it's kind of like the movie Grease, where at the high school dance, when they're on TV, they all pull down their pants and they show off their big buttocks and they sing, Blue Moon. And I can't believe I'm singing off-key on radio.
My good
live.
Friend. My good friend. Yes. And then also, I think this is really funny, Wikipedia threw in Australia and New Zealand, this is sometimes known as a brown eye. Which I thought was like, okay. That's
it puts a completely different connotation to the word, that song, Brown Eyed Girl. From Ben Morrison.
So I've done my share of mooning in the day, and it certainly wasn't for sexual or exhibitionistic. It was more for the shock. But anyway.
Mine was for shock, too. Do you remember when we were kids? We used to play Truth or Dare, that game. I remember we used to double dare at my cousin's place to, you'd have to moon your ass on 16th Avenue.
No.
Maybe you weren't at those parties with me. But I do remember girls doing that.
Wasn't at that party. I think let's return to this martamachilia. Why do they make them so hard to say? It's like plant names. Martamachilia is a paraphilia.
Is having others watch the execution of a sex act. So that would be Would that be like swinging possibly too, where you'd be having sex in front of a partner?
Right. So this is like you get voyeurism. Super turned on by having others watch you have sex.
So would that be like a fantasy, which one of our listeners wrote in about, what was it? The one about having sex and being videotaped. So it'd be like being in a porno. Which I always thought was a really interesting sexual fantasy, because in reality, if they've ever been on set and actually had to film a love scene...
Be a porno?
It's not. I don't think it would be very fun.
It's not very fun. I mean, you can tell by half these porns that it's really... People are...
Painful.
It's looking very uncomfortable. I mean, after the nude modeling last night, you have to keep all these postures for a while and really keep things open. I mean, I have some porn star acquaintances, and they told me that they get in trouble for not keeping things open. So I really started to watch that in porn where you really see, like, guys and girls in crazed, contorted positions trying to keep their genitals exposed for the camera.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what's meant by keeping things open, so the camera can get in there and get its views. And so in rare cases do people actually ever have intercourse like that, like with everything spread and angled so that you can really see the genitals. Like, there's no point. Nobody's trying to look. I mean, obviously sometimes people are looking down and want to see, you know, dick and pussy go in and out.
I think that's
or whatever. Anal things and penetrative acts or whatever. People do want to look. It is a visual act at times, but I mean, you know, mm-hmm. It's like it's so put on for the porno.
Sometimes I think that's why, though, why amateur porn has been on the rise for quite a while.
It's much hotter, yeah.
It is, because it's more organic, more or less, yeah. And there's more of it, so it's not so glossed over, it's not so mm-hmm. polished, mm-hmm. even though, in all honesty, I'm all for good-looking people. And I sounded really shallow, and I can't believe I said that
that's
out loud.
It's okay. It's okay.
But it's true.
I just want to know that people are authentically having a good time. I don't care what they look like necessarily, but yeah, just want them to have a good time. It's like, are they enjoying themselves? Are they really getting off on it? Is it fun?
Well, hopefully when they listen to our show, they can educate themselves so they can have a good time.
I like your sexy voice tonight, honey. I've been very clinical.
That's all right. You be clinical. You can play doctor.
We have some great discussions to come up about rational exhibitionists, which are the ones of today, which is on the websites and on the internet. They're all called rational. So we're going to talk about that. Why are they called that? It's so bizarre. And the psychiatric conditions that can come from exhibitionism. And there's some of us do have that. Maybe you need some attention on that. In cases like what Caroline and I talked about, indecent exposure, we will be talking about that as well. But some of the fun stuff. What about the nude beaches? What about these fetish parties that go on all the time? What about the social nudity, the sexualized social nudity that's happening? And how do you get in on that action?
Well, I think we're going to be talking about that on the second half of the show.
That's right. So I think Caroline's got a couple of funky hot songs that are right in line with showing your stuff.
Yes. And the other thing I was going to say is if you'd like, you can email us right now at Caroline, Caroline, or Julia at Juicebox Radio and tell us your sexual exhibitionist thing, or call us at 604-822-2487. That's 604-UBC-CITR. So give us a call, because we are going to be right back after this. If you're just tuning in right now, you know you're listening to Juicebox Radio on 101.9 FM. We'll be right back.
Come on, girl. You believe in love? Because I got something to say about it. And it goes something like this. Oh,
CITR 101.9 FM in conjunction with the Vancouver International Film Festival present Faubourg Tremé, The Untold Story of Black New Orleans. Faubourg Tremé, also known as the Sixth Ward, is one of the oldest black neighborhoods in America. Executive producer Wynton Marsalis and directors Don Logson and Lawless Eric Ellie have fashioned a love song come documentary to the Tremé as it is known throughout New Orleans. The film recounts the history of the place, credited with giving birth to both the civil rights movement and jazz music. Faubourg Tremé, The Untold Story of Black New Orleans, screens Thursday, October 2nd at 3 o'clock p.m. and Friday, October 3rd at 8:45 p.m. at the Empire Granville 7. Presented by CITR 101.9 FM.
Sex, rough sex, good!
Juice Box is a sexuality education show geared to adult audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
And we are back. We are back in the box. If you're joining us tonight, we are talking Ms. Julia Sexy Saunders and Ms. McGillivray. So if you're joining us, we're on Juicebox Radio 101.9 FM on CITR.
In Vancouver.
Yes, Vancouver.
It's 101.9 FM in Vancouver.
That's right.
Because you won't really get it anywhere else unless you get it live online at CITR.ca, of course.
Or juiceboxradio.com.
Podcasts after the fact, and Julia's been very bad at getting them up on the podcast.
I may have to spank you.
I'm going
to
do it tomorrow. I'm sorry. I've had a lot going on in my life lately.
Yes, you have.
A heck of a lot. Anyway, all right.
But you know what? I think you'd like to be spanked, especially if I did it in public. We could do it for a CITR fundraiser. Spanking with the Juicebox Girls.
I could moon you, and you could spank my moon.
We could moon all those people who are here for a dance class, who are outside. We could just pull down our pants and show those beautiful, perfect, rounded buttocks off to everybody.
Right, and we wouldn't get paid anything, which is the difference between
men and women.
The flashers and the mooners of the world, is that men stand in stark comparison to the definition of women with the flashing and the breasts and the buttocks and the genitalia. Men, they usually refer to as indecently exposing their penis to unwilling observers, whereas women typically do not suffer such societal sanctions and are usually encouraged or even heavily paid to engage in such flashing behavior, exhibitionistic behavior, right?
I agree. And I
Very
think it's because
different.
Of just for women in terms of the whole Victorian era. Pardon me?
I was wondering, we had a caller, and if he had something to contribute to mail.
I was going
to
get into that.
Oh, excuse me.
That's all right. What I was saying before you interrupted me, my darling, was just that I think it has to do with the Victorian era. We're in the Victorian era, as we talked about in the first half of the show. It's just women where it was basically pushed down their sexuality, and they were supposed to be these submissive, sweet, nice things, and they weren't even allowed to show off their ankles. Whereas now we've got shows like Girls Gone Wild, where sometimes women don't even wait to get paid. They just lift up their shirts and show it right off. And what our caller was saying was the fact that it was interesting that women have no qualms with that, and there's lots of shows with that where they show their big breasts off, their bouncing, heaving bosoms, but yet with the men...
Must have been huge. That was calling
That's
us.
That's correct. He made a reference about the fact he liked big breasts. I had to throw that in for
yes,
you.
Yes, he's a big breast man.
But with that, you don't see guys bouncing their and jiggling their balls around. And even when we go and see male strippers, a lot of times it's very, very painful. Which on that note, I did play Lords of Acid on the break, and I played the song Rough Sex. I was looking for the song Male Stripper. I just couldn't find it on YouTube. And we did look for Let's Go Crazy by Prince. But apparently Prince has been going on YouTube and deleting all of his own songs. So you're not supposed to post any of that stuff on there. And of course, we played
Madonna.
Express Yourself. So that was a lot of 80s stuff.
Which show your stuff, right? Express yourself. Good choices,
Caroline.
Because
if you want it right now, you got to show me how. Express what you got, baby, ready or not.
Okay.
And I can't believe nobody emailed us.
I think they did. I just didn't check my email. You checked yours.
I did.
Mine's easier to spell. So let's get back to exhibitionism, shall we? Because honestly, this flashing thing with the thrill, I mean, they talk about how it's meant to inflate the ego of the flasher while having this sort of added bonus of increasing the sexual arousal of the recipients. Now, I don't know if people that get flashed so much have arousal, although I guess if it's women doing it, perhaps they do. I don't know. If it's a really hard cock in the library between the book stacks.
It depends what that cock looks like.
I think I'd be just too scared to be aroused. But anyway, but the penetration aspect of things is what scares a person, I think.
Fear and excitement are the same emotion, and you feel it in the same spots in the body. It's just how the mind perceives it.
Oh, I don't agree.
I think the
brain scientists would disagree with that.
It's that tension, though, in the heart racing, the pulse pounding.
It's a different tempo of heart. It's a different hormonal ejections into your body that from the brain and from the endocrine system. It's a different response.
Okay, so I guess my acting teacher lied to me. They used to say that you could always convert your fear into excitement when you're going for an audition.
Well, you can convert your anxiety into energy and different capacities for sure.
Oh, they were talking about cognitive therapy. If you just thought of it in a different way, perhaps it would be something different.
Yeah.
But I think
that's a good point. You could probably make that switch in your mind. But back again to exhibitionism. The thrill of flashing, I think this exposure. There's some people that believe that it's a lifestyle as opposed to a rare thrill. So some exhibitionists carefully select their audience. They make their exposure brief, or they make it inconspicuous and apparently unintentional all the time or whatever. So they have this lifestyle thing around it. And some researchers talk about invalidly postulating that all exhibitionism is, whether on the end of the giver or the receiver, ultimately a sexual fetish. And I don't agree. I think that they're saying that some researchers say that it is a sexual fetish. I think not always. Some practitioners of exhibitionism consider it an art form, like this nude modeling business.
Exactly, and I think I'm inclined to agree with it as an art form. And some of those costumes at Fetish Night, which, because there are people who do go to fetish clubs, there's the sex clubs, like Club Eden, there's Sin City, there's different places where the amount of time and energy people put in their costumes and some of the sex acts that do happen at some of these places.
Yes.
It can be really hot to watch, I've been told.
Yes, I've been to several of them, and I've been to several sex parties, all in the name of research, of course.
Of course,
and,
do for our listeners.
I've witnessed a lot of this sexual arousal. I think it goes on quite a bit. But it's not criticized as exhibitionism by the psychologists and psychiatrists out there in the DMV, the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual, of course, the fourth edition. It classifies exhibitionism at 302.4 as part of a psychiatric issue. So we're going to talk about that later, but I would say that in the sexual fetish bars and the goth bars and everything else that's happening out there in the real world, away from the DSMV book, which also used to say homosexuals was some kind of philia, which was a problem, and of course they're way off the mark on that. So I don't know how much I trust this DSMV, but anyway, it is still the book of psychological diagnoses. So, but you know, all of this that we're talking about contrasts, and I want to make this very clear, with non-sexualized social nudity, which is what's going on at Rec Beach. And I kind of said this at the beginning of the hour because I know that a lot of people have a lot of issues with anything to do with what goes on at nude beaches and nude sunbathing or swimming having anything to do with sexual expression. It has apparently nothing to do with sexual expression, public nudity, and I don't agree. I think it does have a lot to do with sexual expression.
I think it depends on what's going on at Rec Beach. There's enough ads on Craigslist, and there was actually an article in the Georgia Strait over the summer about the amount of people who are having casual intimate encounters on Rec Beach.
Well, that's one thing, but I mean just the general people that are sitting around. I still think that they're sexualized. I think because of our society as it is, the naked body is still a sexual vision. It's, you know, as much as the nudists would say, nope, this is just a natural state that we all have the right to be in, lay around, whatever, that's fine and dandy. I agree with that. That's good. I'm glad your nudists feel this way and that they fight for their rights on that. But it's still a sexual act in our society, I think, because the naked body is still considered in society to be a sexual vision, like a sexual visual. You know, it's not just a bare naked baby running around having a fun time at the beach, which that would not be a sexual thing. That would just be a nudist thing. That would be like a naked baby being healthy. And
I think it depends, because for Rec Beach, I know myself, I like to go there. And in that regard, I don't think of it as a sexual thing. The only time I'm aware of the sexuality of it, or it makes me feel uncomfortable, is when we have the tourists coming down where the women are wearing their full pantyhose with their heels, and actually
have their suits on.
Yes, and they want to take pictures and they get yelled at by the carnies down there, which I actually like that because I personally find I'm a little bit more sexualized and when I go to Kits because I'm wearing a really cute bikini and people are looking at me wondering what I look like under my clothing. Whereas at Rec, I find for the most part, it's just a natural state and it feels really comfortable and I actually find a lot of freedom in that. So it's different.
Yeah, I get that there's like I said, I mean, it's a nudist thing. It's a natural thing. There's nothing wrong with that. The nudist would fight tooth and nail towards what you're saying. I'm a nudist myself. What I'm saying is that I think there is always some element of exhibitionism there. So, but according to the exhibitionistic DSMV, the book,
I don't like that book.
A social nudity and it is not connected with sexual expression. So that's my opinion in there. Mm-hmm. Now, accordingly, points must be made that define the difference between rational and irrational exhibitionism. Now, I wanted to get to this rational exhibitionism thing because I think for the sake of our listeners, if we're talking about exhibitionism, we must teach them fully what's rational and what's irrational.
But what is irrational?
Irrational is under the DSMV where it's a psychiatric problem where it starts to inhibit somebody's life in some way. It's considered like a paraphilia. It begins to interfere with the quality of the life or normal functioning of the person is when it becomes an irrational. And or if it's damaging people that you're doing it to in the case of exhibitionism. I think when you have a fetish, which is an inanimate object that you turn sexual attention or arousal onto, like a shoe or leather.
Or a plant.
It's inanimate, and it's not being harmed by your licking it and other such things that you might do.
A plant, it may die or wilt.
Or come on it, yes. You're just abusing the plant. Anyway, so rational exhibitionists actually display themselves sexually to other people, singly or in group, inappropriate settings. So this is consensual. It's part of what we were talking about earlier before, swinging or group sex, right? That's exhibitionism in a rational state. And it's done non-threateningly. And the intent is usually to please or to sexually arouse the viewer, giving the recipient an erotic rush. Irrational exhibitionists expose themselves in front of large crowds or sporting events, for example, like streaking, which we hadn't really gotten to. And a similar irrational phenomenon is when, at the conclusion of the sporting event, a woman may flash her breasts while sitting atop someone's shoulders in a dense crowd of people. So these are sort of irrational phenomenon. Or it's also the DSMV's conversation around the psychological issues. Not necessarily a streaker or a breast flasher in a crowd of people at a sports event are necessarily needing to be written up. But anyway, that's the difference between rational and irrational. Both of them like to use the internet to distribute their stories or their pictures on the websites, usually using webcam feeds and other amateur methods. But as a major distinction, irrational exhibitionists attempt to sexually arouse the recipients by giving the impression that the exposure is sort of a first time or it's innocent. And rational exhibitionists instead require an invitation from the recipient. Irrational exhibitionists typically lack this type of self-control. So this irrational behavior, again, is that seemingly kind of crazy, spastic, first time, innocent, oops, or like, whatever, I'm going to do this thing and it's kind of crazy and I'm just going to go for it. And then the rational exhibitionists are the swingers and the group sex people and the porn makers and the strippers, right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God, are you going to do... We're not doing another song right now, honey.
No, at the end of the hour.
Okay, thanks. So do you have anything to comment about that? Obviously, you weren't really listening. Okay. I know you well enough to know.
I am just trying to engineer the show.
You're just trying to find us another song at the end. I love it. That's great, honey. That's fine. Nobody needs to really comment on what I just said. Unless you want to call us, which is at 822-2487.
Or somehow, send us something.
Somehow I think you're not going to. Anyway.
And you were mentioning earlier that we're going to be talking about where and how people can find out about things in terms of the lifestyle.
Mm-hmm. Well, first we have to quickly get a little bit of the implications in.
Okay.
I think, you know, the lifestyle of, like, the fun, you mean the swinging and the sex things and the outside sex stuff?
Yeah.
Well, they can just wait for me to talk about the,
We're waiting with
the DSMV and the psychiatric definitions. Basically, really, it's risky public sexual activity or body exposure that has to do with your personal sexual gratification, but maybe is harming others. So if you're going to be caught in the act, you have to realize that you can be, you know, fined for exhibitionistic behavior. Indecent exposure, and they may put you up for psychiatric evaluation. So watch your actions and see how compulsive they might be. If one of the listeners is hearing, oh my God, really? I do these things. Oh my God, I just remember the story. Okay, I'll say in a minute.
You're intriguing me, Ms. Julian.
So in psychiatry, exhibition is only considered a paraphilia, like I said, once the practice begins to interfere with the quality of the life or normal functioning capacity of the individual. So if you think that you're in that capacity, or if you think that the exposing individual is aggressive or it's criminal behavior, that's a separate phenomenon from exhibition and flashing. So you need professional help and or you need to, you know, go to the police about this person.
And that would be considered indecent exposure, would it not?
Mm-hmm.
That's what I thought.
Yeah. So I was just remembering a story from an ex-boyfriend who used to love to do his exhibitionistic thing back and forth in front of his wide open, you know, living room windows, I mean, knowing full well that there was, like, little girls walking down the street.
Really?
Now, he was only as well a youth himself. I think he was 13 or something. But he was too shy to go out and actually talk to these girls, so he would wander around naked in front of them. And the girls didn't tend to mind too much. I think this is an activity that went on in his block.
What's the difference between that and playing doctor, though, really, in a lot of ways? When
a plate
you're a
of glass between you.
Thank you. That's a break. Thank you.
No touchy-touchy. Only looky-looky. Okay. So public sex outside, and how can you do more exhibitionistic activity?
Well, what's a safe way to do it in terms of without harming people?
Not getting caught?
Well, not getting caught, number one. Number two, perhaps limiting it to places like Sin City, which they are having the pirate party this weekend on Saturday, which I think would be really, really interesting to go to, especially if you've got a fantasy about being a damsel in distress and you want to be tied up to a masthead and being subjected to all sorts of things by the pirates, where they could be lifting up your sword.
Sounds like a fun way to be an exhibitionist.
I think it'd be a really hot way to be an exhibitionist. So things like that. Or going to Club Eden, which is a sex club, which
yes.
I think is quite interesting for swingers.
Yes.
I have been told there's a pole there, so I did want
libido,
to check that out at some point. And I don't
events.
Mean a cock.
Libido event, yes, very good. Libido events also does sexual parties. And you know what? Once you go to one of these parties, you just have to ask around to get, you know, and if people that host these kind of things privately know that you're interested and they think you're attractive, they're going to invite you. I mean, this is part of what happens in the sex party circles and the swinging circles, is that you just have to go, ask a few questions, kind of, you know, be interested, be sexy, be sexual, and you will get invited to other parties. And then you can meet other people. And then eventually you get into the really nice cliques where everyone's really attractive and young-ish and stuff. So, you know, a lot more of a hot situation. I personally used to play in these circles way before I was ever a professional. And so I can share lots of stories with anybody who's interested about how to go about getting into the hottest circles around.
That sounds very intriguing, Ms. Julia.
It was fun. I got my wild oats got sowed. Every little oat I had. Every possible oat possible, which is what makes me such a great sex educator, honestly, because I've been through a lot and I know how to keep people safe.
And I think that's really important.
In the meantime, because people are going to explore anyway, I might as well learn how to do it safely. And what else were you going to... Oh, say outside. I think outside sex, I think, you know, in the winter it gets a little bit harder to do. You got to be quick. You know, you probably don't want to lay down on anything. You know, you got to just get the genitals out and keep the rest of yourself wrapped up.
Or you want to make sure your cock is wrapped, too, with a condom. But
yes, thank you. Or female condoms. There's also other women can put the female condom on.
That's true. And you might want to listen to the iPod so you don't hear that rattling, which sounds like a garbage bag. But in terms of outdoor sex, don't forget, body heat is great against, so you don't need to worry about freezing to death. What's that word?
Oh, I'm sorry. I just left my mind. It went in and went out. I was thinking about the mummy sleeping bag.
Mummy sleeping bag.
So you get in them and, you know, no, you can't really get maybe fined for that because nobody's going to really know what you're doing.
I was
Things might be moving in a certain rhythmic
I was thinking if it's either a lesbian or heterosexual couple. If one of them is wearing a skirt, it's very easy access. Or, as we were talking about earlier, if you're going to a kilt night, and guys, don't wear any panties. Don't wear underwear.
Panties, that's right.
Easy access, easy access. Really simple. You can go anywhere and just tilt up a skirt.
I think we can
flash somebody.
We can learn a lot from the Scots as well as the gay male community. They have lots of great ways about having sex outside. Yeah. And I don't know, up against a dumpster quickly in the back alley.
I think you could do it.
Witness this happening downtown in a few places.
Oh, believe me, so do I. I do a lot of work in the downtown east side. Right. Some of my clients are survival sex workers, so we get to see quite a bit. But it depends.
Beauty Night Society helping women to reintroduce touch in a non-threatening way, and other amazing education programs that you provide, Ms. McGillivray, almost every night of the midweek, and I am very impressed. And so you need volunteers still?
We always need more volunteers, and if anybody's going, because they got their kick of the 80s from us earlier today, to the Love and Grace event tomorrow night at Celebrities, anybody who gets their makeup done, it's by donation, so donate big. Even if you're not getting your makeup done, donate anyway. It's going to be a really great time, and it's a very sexy event. Rick Ford's going to be there, who is one of the original busboys or waiters at the at Love Affair back in the day.
Wow, he must be good and wrinkled by now. I'm just kidding.
No comment. I'm just kidding. But anyway, we will be back next week.
We hope you enjoyed tonight. All about exhibitionism, showing your stuff. Go out there and show your stuff. Don't get caught. Or if you do get caught, hopefully.
We want to hear the stories, and we don't want to be held liable for it.
Nobody too innocent, please, like the children in the library and picking young women up on the street from, you know, and showing them your genitals.
And
please,
ladies,
don't do that.
Or gentlemen, all I can say is if you're wearing a skirt or a kilt and you crawl into the passenger side because your date has told you that they're going to open the door for you, so they do, and you crawl in on all fours and you start circling your butt round and round and look back over your shoulder at them, all I want to say is it works really well and we don't want to be held responsible. So on that note, we hope you enjoyed tonight's show. We'll be back next week at the sexy hour of 10 o'clock. And coming up next is Hans Kloss.
Hans von
Kloss. Kloss's Misery Hour.
Marion is a very sexy man to be miserable with.
And I haven't turned around yet to look at his shoes because I think I'm going to come in my pants having a shoegasm.
Okay, well, make sure you tune in next week to Juicebox Radio.
And a little bit of something filthy gorgeous from the Sister Sisters to send off.
Filthy and gorgeous.
Christmas. You got